Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. I want to thank you for listening to our broadcast this morning. We'd also like to encourage you to listen to our new TV program, Searching the Scriptures. It airs from 8 to 8:30 this morning on Channel 6 of the Public Access Station. We hope that you'll take a look. We also would encourage you to check out our website, churchofchrist@harrisburg.com. You'll find many valuable resources that will aid you in your study of God's Word. You will also find previous broadcasts of these radio programs, and also you can see our TV program there and download it. So please take a look at it. At the end of this broadcast, you'll be given the meeting times of our services at Harrisburg, and we cordially invite you to come and worship and study God's Word with us. You will always be warmly received. We are looking at an overview of the Bible for the next couple of months, and we come to the point of in the Old Testament of looking at the books of the major prophets, and they are five. We begin with the book of Isaiah. Isaiah's long ministry ranges from about 740 to 680 BC. He began his ministry near the end of Uzziah's reign and continued through the reigns of Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah. Assyria was growing in power under its king, who turned towards the west after his conquest of the east. He plucked up small nations that dotted the Mediterranean coast, including Israel and much of Judah. Judah is warned in his kings against trusting in alliances other than in other countries rather than the power of God. As a contemporary of Hosea and Micah, he prophesied during the last years of the northern kingdom, but ministered to the southern kingdom of Judah, who was following the sins of her sister Israel. After Israel's demise in 722 BC, he warned Judah of the judgment not by Assyria, but by Babylon, even though Babylon had not rose into power. Isaiah is also known as a messianic prophecy. There are many messianic prophecies contained in the book of Isaiah. Let us just talk about a few. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 14, it is prophesied that the Messiah would come and would be born of a virgin. We are also taught in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse number 6 that the government of the Lord's church would be upon his shoulder. And probably the most familiar prophecy concerning the Lord in the book of Isaiah had to do with the suffering servant who would die when he came to earth in Isaiah chapter 53. That leads us to the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah was contemporary of Zephaniah, Habakkuk, Daniel, and Ezekiel. His ministry stretched from 627 to 580 BC during the reign of Josiah. Josiah was Judah's last good king and instituted spiritual reforms when the book of the law was discovered in 622 BC. Jeremiah was on good terms with Josiah and lamented when he was killed in 609 BC by Pharaoh Necho of Egypt. By this time, Babylon had already overthrown Nineveh, the capital city of Assyria, in 612 BC. Joahaz placed Josiah as king of Judah, but reigned only 3 months because he was deposed and taken to Egypt by Necho. Jehoiakim was Judah's next king, but he reigned as an Egyptian vassal until 605 BC, when Egypt was defeated by Babylon at Carchemish. Nebuchadnezzar took Palestine and deported key persons, such as Daniel, to Babylon, and Judah's king Jehoiakim was now a Babylonian vassal, but he rejected Jeremiah's warnings in 601 BC and rebelled against Babylon. Jehoiachin became Judah's next king in 597, but was replaced by Zedekiah 3 months later when Nebuchadnezzar captured Jerusalem and deported Jehoiachin to Babylon. Zedekiah was the last king of Judah, and his attempted allies with Egypt led to Nebuchadnezzar's occupation and overthrow of Jerusalem in 586 BC. In the beginning of Jeremiah's book, he warns them about the impending doom if they don't repent and turn back to God. But then, in the middle of the book, he tells them that it's too late. Their conduct has caused God to decide and conclude to punish them, and because of the punishment, he determines that they should submit to Babylonian captivity. If they do not accept Babylonian captivity, then they will die in captivity, or they will die before they enter captivity. And so we see that Jeremiah is also referred to as a weeping prophet. And we also understand that Jeremiah prophesied that he indeed they would go into Babylonian captivity, but he prophesied that they would come out at the end of 70 years. That leads us to the book of Lamentations. Lamentations is a historical background can be found in the time of Jeremiah. The book was written soon after Jerusalem's destruction and at the beginning of the exile. Nebuchadnezzar had laid siege to Jerusalem from 588 BC to July 586 BC. It fell on July 19th and the city and temple were burned on August the 15th. Jeremiah probably wrote these five elegies before he was taken captive to Egypt by his disobedient countrymen, not long after the destruction that we read about in Jeremiah chapter 43, verse 1 through 7. The book of Lamentations is a lamenting of the destruction of the holy city. The destruction of Jerusalem is very vivid in chapter number 1. We read in chapter number 1, in verse 12, "Is it nothing to you, all who pass by, and behold and see, if there's any sorrow like my sorrow, which the Lord has been brought on me, which the Lord has inflicted on me in the day of his fierce anger?" Then in the second part of the book, he talks about God's anger for their disobedience. He gives a prayer of mercy in chapter 3. And then in chapter number 4, he talks about the siege of Jerusalem and the conditions that were in Jerusalem during that siege. And then shows that the cause of the siege was the disobedience of the Judah nation. And then he talked about a prayer of restoration towards the end of the book. And that's why he is referred to as the weeping prophet. He was very tender-hearted. And the events that took place during the time of the destruction of Jerusalem greatly played on his heart. That leads us to the prophet Ezekiel. Ezekiel prophesied during the Jewish exiles in Babylon, during the last days of Judah's decline and downfall. His message of judgment is similar to that of his older contemporary Jeremiah, who remained in Jerusalem. Judah will be judged because of her unfaithfulness, but God promises her future restoration and blessing. Like Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel proclaims a message of horror and hope, of condemnation and consolation. But Ezekiel places special emphasis on the glory of Israel's sovereign God, who says, "They shall know that I am the Lord." The book breaks into four sections: the commission of Ezekiel in the first three chapters, the judgment of Judah in chapters 4 through 24, the judgment on the Gentiles in chapters 25 through 32, and then the restoration of Israel in chapters 33 through 48. Ezekiel is told that he is going to go to a rebellious nation, and they are not going to like his message, and they are going to rebel, but he tells them to go there as God's watchmen and warns them of the judgment that's coming upon the nation of Judah and the judgment on the false prophets that have led to Judah's demise. And so Ezekiel, again, is a prophesying that because of their disobedience, that they are going to captivity, but in the end of his book, he gives the hope of restoration and that God will bring them out and allow the remnant, the faithful remnant, to rebuild. That leads us to the last book of the major prophets, the book of Daniel. The book of Daniel is really written in two sections. The first section is more historical and talks about the things that happened during the early part of the Babylonian captivity. We see that Daniel's taken in the first wave of the destruction that is by the hands of the Babylonians. And we see in the early part of Daniel that he is given a position of authority because of his continual faith in God and because of his faith in God, he is elevated and exalted to a high position along with his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. In chapter number 2, we have the great revelation of the dream of Nebuchadnezzar, and the dream was a great image. And Daniel interprets this great dream as the vision of four kingdoms. Of course, the head of gold is Babylon, and the silver are the Medes and Persians. And then you have the Greeks, and then finally you have the Romans. But the most important part of Daniel chapter 2 and his interpretation of this great image that Nebuchadnezzar saw in his dream was the last part. In verse 44 and 45, "And in the days of the king, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to another people. It shall break in places and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Insomuch as you saw that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it broke in pieces, the iron, the bronze, and the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God has made known to the king what will come to pass after this. The dream is certain, and its interpretation is true." This is the prophecy about the coming of the church in the days of the Roman Empire. And so we are given a time frame. So if we look at secular history, we see that Daniel's prophecy of the four world empires is exactly the way that the world empires went, with Rome being the last, and the kingdom of God was established during the days of that empire. In chapter number 3, we have the faith of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who would rather face the fiery furnace than to bow down to the image that had been erected by Nebuchadnezzar, and they are delivered by God. And in chapter number 4, we have Nebuchadnezzar's humiliation when he is set out to graze with the animals for a while until he comes to understand that God rules in the kingdoms of men. And in chapter number 5, we see the writing on the wall when Belshazzar is prophesied that the kingdom of Babylon is going to fall that very night, and he is going to die, and indeed that happens. And then we see Darius, the Mede-Persians, coming to the throne, and in Daniel chapter 6, the enemies of Daniel tried to trap him by setting a decree, but Daniel prays to God as he always did, and he is spared when he is thrown in the den of lions, and his enemies are thrown to the lions instead of him. The last part of Daniel, chapter 7 through 12, are prophetic, and they have to do with the Greek kingdom and the coming of the Roman kingdom. And it's very much historical, and you have to look at Greek history to know the validity of the things that are prophesied by Daniel. It's probably one of the greatest books written to give strong evidence of the inspiration of the Bible, because it is so accurate. It is so aligned with history. And so there you have it, the five books of the major prophets: Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, and Daniel. Lord willing, the next time we come together, we'll begin to examine the minor prophets, and they are 12. And we will look at the messages of the minor prophets and who they were and how they prophesied concerning the impending doom unless the nation would repent of its sin. Thank you for listening this morning. We hope that you'll continue to tune in next week. Have a wonderful day, and come and worship God with us today.